I don't remember how to start these.
Do you ever?
No. That's my secret. I never know how to start these. Oh, you know what? I need to find those clips.
Clips. You got to get your notes.
Gotta get my notes. Downloads. Porn file. Okay.
Hentai.
There we go. Okay. Are y'all ready?
We're gonna your phones.
Oh yeah. Already did, I think.
You are listening to the Secret Transmission Podcast, discussing conspiracies, paranormal, and the strange.
God, this looks like a bad porn. Y'all are just staring at me.
That would be a bad porn.
That'd be a terrible porn.
Yeah, porn has nothing to do with staring.
For some reason, I think I'd watch it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret Transmission Podcast. I am your host, Toby. Alongside me are some of my co-hosts. Please introduce yourselves, co-hosts.
Hello, I'm Rudy.
I'm Tyler.
Hi, I'm Chloe.
Tyler, you're back. Actually, we're all back.
Yeah.
Rudy and I have been gone for quite a while, and Tyler's been abducted.
Well over a year.
Yeah. He's been abducted by his reptilian...
overlords.
That's why we haven't seen him in a while. And he brought back a reptilian overlord with him, which is his girlfriend. She waved. You can't hear a wave, Chloe.
You did air quotes when you said girlfriend, though. So,
oh, yeah.
She doesn't realize she's a reptilian. She just thinks she's normal.
She hasn't figured it out yet. So I have assembled this this rowdy crew to talk about stalkers.
Fantastic.
This is going to be kind of a weird topic for our show, I think, but I think it's fun. And I have to say what really piqued my interest in this topic, and I can't remember it. Me and Rudy were talking about it earlier, and I cannot remember who the story is about, but there was some famous movie star or something who had a stalker of a guy that was stalking him that wanted to have sex with him, and he was a big bodybuilder, but he wasn't gay or anything. He just wanted to have sex with this guy, and that's like his whole motive, and it was such a crazy case, and then I started thinking about how scary that is, that just some random big, like... bodybuilder was wanting to have sex with him. Like, that's I think it's Steven Spielberg.
Was it really?
I think I remembered it. When we go on a break in a minute, I'll double check that. I think it just came back to me. It was someone or George Lucas or something.
Some famous director.
I think so.
Well, you've gone through the gamut. You thought it was pop star, and then you thought it was comedian.
I know. I've just been making wild guesses.
Now it's directors.
This one is completely allegedly, because I don't remember that one. So hopefully I can clear that one up in a minute. But I've just got a few cases that I wanted to go over. I thought were interesting. Rudy found one that's pretty interesting, he says.
Piqued my curiosity a little bit.
It's about his crush.
Oh, my 80s crush for sure.
Oh, yeah. Come on. You still have a crush on her.
Wait, is he the stalker?
That's the twist. That's the twist.
Okay,
Rudy is the stalker.
Thanks for burying the lead.
He's like, these were just all my notes. And
well, these notes are useless now.
Throw those away.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with a Justin Bieber stalker.
It's not me.
It's not you?
No.
Are you sure?
I was never a fan.
It's Tyler.
Yeah. I do have that Bieber fever. You know it.
Okay, so... there was two guys, Mark Stake and Tanner Roon. It's a uncle and nephew duo. So Mark is uncle, Tanner is the nephew. They were hired to castrate and murder Justin Bieber and his bodyguard after a New York concert at Madison Square Garden. So this plan actually came from a man who was in prison for a convicted murder and rape of a 15-year-old girl, and he's serving two life sentences. His name is Dana Martin, okay? So Mark and Dana met while they were incarcerated in Southern New Mexico Correctional Facility in Las Cruces?
Okay.
Sure.
Sure.
Apparently, Dana is a huge fan of Justin Bieber. Big enough fan that he has a tattoo of him on his leg. Oh, it's okay. And like, I guess he was like really obsessed with him and was like trying to contact him. But, you know, the Biebs didn't have time for this convicted rapist murderer. So I guess Dana also had a huge list of other people he wanted murdered. And I don't know how he talked this guy into doing this, but Mark ended up recruiting his nephew named Tanner to help with these plans. But before anything could happen, Dana had a change of heart. He just couldn't let the Biebs go like that. And he ratted himself out.
Oh, okay.
He told the cops his own plans. And there was something about, like, I guess... he had recorded, somehow he tipped him off and got recordings of Mark like talking about the murders and stuff like on a prison phone or something. So there was something like that. But the two were arrested in November 2012. And the reason Dana wanted to have Justin castrated and murdered, his quote is, "It isn't just so people will know who I am. It's because he changed. And that made me angry."
Oh, Jesus.
So, and then he was also quoted saying this: "If I was free, here's what I'd do. Put," this is really terrible, "put Bieber in a cage, rape him repeatedly, and put it on YouTube."
Oh, God.
So.
I think that violates their community guidelines.
He might have to jump in line between. Yeah. Like,
I don't think he's going to get ad revenue from those videos.
He might want to try DLive. They might let that kind of shit slide.
So, what do you think of this first case?
I think there's probably a bunch of teenage girls that also want to do the same thing. But...
Is that not crazy? Like, this is a grown man and... 2012, so that was, what, 7 years ago? So
how old was Bieber? Wasn't he, like, a minor?
I don't know. I mean, he would have been 7 years younger than he is now, so...
Yeah. That'd been close,
probably
yeah.
His teenage years.
Mm. Ooh, that's scary.
So, like, doing that to a child.
Now, there was something about, like, the his team or his lawyer or whoever, his spokesman was like, there was nothing to worry about ever. We've got the Biebs covered. He nothing's gonna happen to his anus. maybe he didn't say that, but it was something along those lines. So yeah, I don't know. These stalker cases get weird like that, though.
Yeah, they do. Really do.
And like, it's all it seems to be people that are really unstable. Like, this guy had this plan to have Bieber castrated. And then completely tattled on himself and was like, no, don't do it. I don't know. It's weird. It's real weird. Any thoughts on that one before we move on to the next one?
Nah.
Okay. This next one, I'm gonna play a clip. This is like a full CNN report, so it's like 2 or 3 minutes. But it summed it up better than I would have done it. So, here's Sandra Bullock's stalker case. This one's really scary.
This morning, the man accused of stalking actress Sandra Bullock is facing trial in Los Angeles. A judge on Thursday ordered Joshua Corbett to stand trial for allegedly breaking into the Oscar winner's home as she slept, among the 26 counts, stalking, burglary, and weapons charges. David Begnaud shows us how Bullock's panicked 911 call is a key piece of evidence.
In a frantic 911 call, actress Sandra Bullock is heard begging for help as she hides in an upstairs closet.
I can't hear anything. I'm locked in my closet. It's the same door. It's shut.
Prosecutors say Bullock was startled by a loud bang inside her Bel Air home last June. According to prosecutors, the man she saw in her hallway was Joshua Corbett.
tell if this was a person was wearing what color?
All I saw was like dark sweatshirt and dark pants. I'm going up the stairs to my attic.
Corbett showed no emotion as Bullock's terrified 15-minute call for help was played for the judge. Two officers who responded to the scene testified that when they entered the Bel Air home on June 8, 2014, they saw Corbett walking down a staircase.
He said, "I'm sorry. I love you, Sandy."
Detective Christina Carlozzi read a handwritten letter police say Corbett was carrying that morning, in which he professes his love for Bullock and says he wants to have sex with her. He also mentions her adopted son, Louie, who was not home at the time.
"I will forever be thinking of you and Louie, my son, as you are my wife by law, the law of God, and you belong to me."
Officers testified that Corbett had magazine cutouts of the Oscar winner and a concealed weapons permit, but was not armed. Later, a search of his home revealed what police say was an arsenal of weapons, including a machine gun.
All told, we seized 10 handguns, I believe 13 rifles, and a shotgun.
Corbett has pleaded not guilty. His bail is set at more than $2 million.
He's there because he thought he had a relationship with her, albeit delusional, but that's what he thought. But he wasn't there to hurt her.
There is not a more clear-cut case of stalking than this one.
If convicted on all charges, Corbett faces up to 12 years in prison. For CBS This Morning, David Begnaud, Los Angeles.
What do you think of that?
He is a creep.
Yeah, no shit.
So he breaks in and he's, I don't know if he tried to actually open the door, that the closet that she's hiding in or anything, but just the fact that when the police got there, he's like, "I'm sorry, Sandy. I'm so," like, had a pet name for her and cutouts of her of magazines. I feel like that's one of those cases where he was cutting out the magazines and putting it with pictures of him, you know, like over his prom date or something. And it's,
he seemed very creepy, but he didn't seem like he wanted to hurt her. Not this round, anyway.
No, not this round. But think of, like, if it would have been a different circumstance, like where it was some kind of meet and greet or something and she turned him down. Just think of how, like, easy he could have
gone off. Yeah.
Yeah. And then brought the machine gun and all these 10 handguns. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
Do you have a female perspective on this, Chloe?
No, she was kind of creepy. Isn't she married? Like, was her husband not there or anything?
I don't know. I know
she has a son.
It was an adopted child.
Adopted child.
But hell, thank God he wasn't there. I mean,
right. Yeah.
You know, if he would have been there, just think, like, who knows what this guy would have done? Maybe taken him as hostage, or who the fuck knows? So it was just like the right circumstances. Who knows what he would have done when he got there, you know, into her room. If she was still asleep and she started screaming for no or something, he might have just put a pillow over her face and that would have been the end.
I want to know how these guys are getting into celebrities' homes. Like, you got all the money in the world, and where's your security?
That's the thing. Like, a lot of these cases, one of the cases I'll talk about in a little while, they talk about that, like, what happened. Like, we had barbed wire on the fences. We had this. We had that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have, you can't cover every inch of your, you know, there's always going to be a weak spot. And that's usually what happens. And it's always the last thing that you would think, too. Like, you're not going to think. Like I said, in a minute, the one that I'll talk about, he had barbed wire on the fence, and it's like a mile hike to, or a half a mile hike to his house. Like, there's a fence around his property. And
that's not going to stop a stalker.
No. If someone wants in, they're gonna get in.
Yeah. If there's a will, there's a way.
And that's, and that how you started dating Chloe, Tyler? She started stalking you and you're like, "Fuck it, I'll just let her in instead of let her look through my windows."
It was the easier thing to do, really.
Sure, it was the other way around.
Just give her a
okay.
Key.
It was safer to know that she was coming in rather than, you know, breaking.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sleeping in the doghouse tonight.
Yeah, that's what that look is.
This next case I have. This one I heard about a long time ago, and this is like kind of what made me realize like how scary stalkers can be. So Bjork.
Oh my god.
You know this
one? Yeah, I know this one.
So I don't really know who Bjork is.
She's a singer.
Yeah. Well, this case happened in 1996. A man named Ricardo Lopez, he was obsessed with this Icelandic singer named Bjork. Is that how you, am I saying it right?
Yeah, Bjork. Just Bjork.
Bjork. Yeah. Ricardo's case is really a very well-documented case. And you can definitely see, like, his obsession and his insanity through it all. He recorded video diaries and wrote physical diaries. And a lot of this started around his 21st birthday. So in those handwritten diaries, he had over 800 pages of handwritten notes and feelings and stories and stuff that he was keeping track of. And in his diary, he actually wrote, "I couldn't have sex with Bjork because I love her." That was one of his quotes taken from his crazy thing. No comment on that?
No, not really.
He couldn't have sex with her because he loved her.
Well, he didn't want to. He was ready for. He didn't want to violate her.
He was ready for marriage. Is how I'm taking that.
Okay.
Because you know, once you're married, it's done.
Be like a father figure.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it was also found that he had a lot of insecurities about himself. Like in his diary, he wrote about how he didn't like his body and that he would never find a girl because he was a chubbier guy. And he just wasn't real happy with himself. So he had depression and, you know, all these other things that are happening. What are you laughing at? What's everyone laughing at?
I don't know. What'd I miss?
What?
You want me to say it?
What'd I say?
Sounds a lot like somebody we know sitting in this room.
Oh, where's that?
I'm so glad where's I'm not the only one that thought it.
Where's the drum when we need it?
We're on a whole different wavelength than y'all are.
Apparently so.
Then she started laughing, and I couldn't control it. I was like, oh my god.
Fuck you guys. I don't have to put up with this. I'm not this guy. I promise you. We'll keep going and we'll see if I'm like this guy.
Where's your diary?
You are not seeing my diary. I don't even have one. Upstairs with us. So he had an obsession with a bunch of other stars and stuff, and he would complain about all of their lifestyle choices. But it always went back to Bjork and her lifestyle choices. And what made him really bitter and mad at her to like set this real crazy motion off is she started dating someone named Goldie.
Okay.
He was black.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. So in his videos, he would use lots of racial slurs.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically would say how it was unacceptable for her to date him. And he wrote in his diary that he, quote, "he wasted 8 months and she has a fucking lover." He didn't know that they were dating this entire time. So his little, in his head, this love relationship that he had made, it was, her love was being taken by someone else.
Poor guy.
Yeah, come on now.
You got to feel for him, though, Tub, a little bit, don't you?
Stop. You know what? This episode
Toby,
was a bad
are you
idea.
Some tab away over there?
God, I hate you guys so much. This is a bad topic.
You just picked a poor guy to you know, really put out there, bud.
In 1996, Ricardo was living alone in an apartment in Hollywood, Florida. He had over 20 hours of footage on how he wanted to punish her.
Oh, God. 20 hours of footage?
Yeah, he was like,
holy shit.
And it was only like a few month time period where he was recording all these.
Oh my gosh.
He decided he wanted to kill her. And in one of his entries, he said, I'm just going to have to kill her. I'm going to send a package. I'm going to be sending her to hell.
Okay.
Yeah, so he wasn't real happy with her.
Apparently not.
One of his early package bomb ideas was going to be needles that were contaminated with HIV blood. But later he went with a bomb that would spray sulfuric acid.
Okay.
And what he did is the device that he made, he ended up hollowing out a book to put it in. So I guess when she opened it, it would detonate.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he forged some kind of note or something to where it looked like it was from her record label or her agents or something.
Mm.
So he went
above and beyond.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so I've got a clip of this is actually Ricardo talking.
This chick is going to pay. Okay, this chick is going to pay. Not because, oh, this is my vendetta, you know, she did this to me. Look, I'm going down, okay? When the fear of living exceeds that of dying, you go, you know, that's it. Everything's over. I'm not emotionally involved with her, but I was, you know, I was obsessed with her. I'm not really, well, I mean, it's funny now, if you look at this, no, I'm not obsessed now. But actually, I hardly ever think about her. But I swore to Ricardo of the past. See, I worry more about the Ricardo of the past than I do of the Ricardo of the future. Okay? I'm doing this for him, for the Ricardo of the past, for revenge. Even though I'm not, you know, right now I could really do that. She's marrying a black guy. I've already told you that, Nick. And that's unacceptable, you know, to this day, but that's completely unacceptable to me. She has earned, see, by me killing her, though, that's it. You know, I would release her from everything. I don't want to release her. I want her to stay and suffer. I want her to stay and suffer. There's no point in me destroying her life because, what, it's over. No more pain. Yeah, no more good things. Yeah, but there's no more pain. There's no more. There's nothing more. There's no more satisfaction I can get from that. But leaving her alive, maimed, all fucking destroyed emotionally, okay, it's much more, of a sweeter revenge. You know, the French say that revenge is a dish best served cold.
I thought it was the Russians that said that.
I don't know who said it, but...
just gotta screw up a perfectly good quote.
But yeah, no, so his whole reasoning was he was over her.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
He was way over her. He doesn't even think about her as he's tinkering around making this bomb and filming hours and hours and hours of... footage. Mm-hmm. But he's not thinking about her.
No.
But he was doing this for past Ricardo, not for his future. His future is over. He was doing it to do the
ramblings of a madman.
Yeah, I know. But that's how crazy this man was. So on September 12th, 1996, he went to mail the package at the post office. And apparently he brought a gun with him just in case he got caught. He could blow his brains out right there, I guess. So the plan was to mail the package to her, and then he was going to kill himself around the same time that the package would get delivered to her. So I guess they could die together, and he wanted to be reunited with her in heaven.
Oh, God.
And, or at the bare minimum, at least disfigure her. Cause,
well, didn't he say that she's going to hell?
Ooh, but he's crazy.
Exactly. I guess he would go to hell too. So, I mean,
wherever he decided that they were going to go,
it was his decision.
But see, what if she did go to hell and he went to heaven for all this? And man, that's the real torture right there. Or maybe he went to hell and she went to heaven. Whatever. Either way. He ended up, I actually watched the video. I didn't know it was actually going to show it. I thought it was going to cut away. I watched the video of him committing suicide earlier.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very easily found on YouTube. Wow. It's weird. I thought it was going to cut out. I was just like sitting there watching and I was like, it went pow, and he fell over. And I was like, yep, I just watched a man kill himself. Yeah, so apparently he painted his face red, and so like he shaved his head, I think, and like just went completely bonkers before he did it. No one noticed he was gone for 3 days until the neighbors started complaining about a smell.
Oh.
So they finally sent in, you know, the cops to go check in on him. Apparently he wrote all over the walls, and he left like all kinds of messages and stuff, and said something about like a terrorist attack, and they had to send in a special bomb squad, terrorist group, or whatever, to go in there to check out and see what was going on. But they ended up finding out, you know, all the cutouts of her and everything. Mm-hmm. And they figured out that he sent off a package. They let, I guess it would have been the English authorities. I don't remember where she was living. But they notified that there was a dangerous package. They intercepted it and detonated it in a safe location. So nothing ever happened to her. Nothing happened to anyone. Mm-hmm. But it did get across the way.
Oh, wow.
So it was en route. So
was his package late?
That's what I was wondering, because it said that he was planning on killing himself around the same time she would have gotten the package. Hmm. So either he didn't know how long it takes for mail to go across seas, or it was late or something. But yeah.
Knowing the mail system, it probably got lost and took like an extra week.
That's bad enough in the States. I can imagine how it is in Europe.
No right? joke. Isn't that that's the only time you're like, thank God the fucking mail wasn't on time.
Yeah, no shit. Ooh. Oh my gosh.
Do y'all have anything to say about that case? Do you think that one's interesting at all, Chloe?
It's all right.
You didn't like that one?
Yeah.
Which one's been your favorite so far?
Justin Bieber one.
You're weird for having a favorite stalker case.
That's pretty gross. No. Really weird for looking them up.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Rudy's going to tell us about a Madonna case.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
It's going to be real good. So we will be back after this break.
Hey there, gamers. Do you like retro video games? Well, I have a podcast for you.
I'm player one, Toby.
Hadouken! I'm player two, Goobs.
We do a weekly review show discussing the history, story, gameplay, and fun facts of one old game.
We also have a rage meter to let you know how much this game ticked us off. Like, do you want to go up and punch a bee's nest and get stung a lot? Because some games make you feel like you want to do that.
We also have a rating at the end from 1 to 10, because we're simple folk.
You can find us on all major podcasting apps.
You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Secret Levels Pod.
Game over, folks!
And we are back. And we did find out that it was Steven Spielberg, after all.
It was.
From the case that sparked this idea for this episode. So I'm going to just give you the, because I don't have all my, I didn't write any notes down for this, but apparently it was a, there was a man named Jonathan Norman who was 31, and he was convicted for 25 years to life after he had been caught on Steven Spielberg's estate with handcuffs and duct tape.
Jesus. God.
Jeez.
And apparently he planned on raping Steven in front of his wife.
Wow.
That's,
yeah,
a little extreme.
I guess Spielberg also like pushed for like the maximum sentence that mm-hmm. he could get. So mm-hmm.
yes, I would be scared if I was in his shoes. There'd be a big old bodybuilder coming after me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, anyways, that's. I wish I would have gone deeper into this story just to like figure out like if there was more to it. But that's the Cliff Notes version.
Maybe that's just some sort of fetish or something.
I just love directors. You can direct me what to do anytime, Steven. Yeah, that's crazy. I wonder when this happened. I guess 1998?
Oh, wow.
So
apparently the 90s were big with stalkers.
Right? You would think it would be worse now. I mean, I'm sure it is. I mean, I talked about Justin Bieber almost getting castrated.
It's easier to do as now. A child.
It's just much easier now. So you would think that it would be like such a much bigger problem. And it might be, and I just don't know.
Right.
Now we just stalk people on social media.
Yeah,
so,
I think
you know.
That's kind of an outlet for stalkers, though. So like... Like back then,
everyone airs out their laundry anyway online.
You don't have to leave the house to stalk people anymore.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I wonder if that's helped stalking cases. Not how I meant it. Helped as in like helped lower the amount of stalkers, just because like you can stalk from afar and you don't have to be like in windows watching this person. Because you're right, like. People post everything.
And you know what? It would make sense because there are so many crazy people posting crazy shit online all the time. How are you going to know who's legitimate and who's just trolling?
Right. Right. Well, I don't know. I guess catfishing is a big deal now. So that's kind of like that's kind of like stalking. People make fake profiles to talk to.
I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
I wasn't particularly calling anyone out.
Room. Never mind. All right, we're good.
Yeah. Okay.
Forget I said. You can cut that bit out.
All right? you need to wipe some sweat off your forehead there.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyone got a
fake profile? I don't know nothing about what. yeah, go try to find Rudy on.
Yeah. Good luck.
So, Rudy, how about we hear about your girl?
My girl.
Did I give you a record or something or a CD?
You did. You found her Like a Virgin album.
Yes, it was a CD. It was a CD, wasn't it?
A CD, yep.
I found it at a... Oh, it was when we were doing our backmasking episodes, huh? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh! And That's his girl. That's his girl.
Donna was my girl growing up.
Yeah.
Now it's Lady Gaga.
The new Madonna.
That's right. Upgraded for a younger model.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's hear about this case.
All right. So this one, I came across this one on like a top 15 strangest things kind of video.
Right.
And it was like strangest things found in a storage unit. So.
Okay.
2012 in Long Beach, California, this guy purchased a storage unit that had gone delinquent. So opened it up and didn't really find anything out of the ordinary at first, but then he finds a bunch of knives in like some drawers. Then he finds a bunch of Madonna paraphernalia. It was like weird stuff. So he does a little digging and asks around, and he finds out that the storage unit actually belonged to a guy named Robert Dewey Hoskins, who was also known as the Madonna Stalker. In the 90s.
Oh, shit.
Now, the police came, they looked at everything, but they really didn't take anything because there wasn't any case. There was nothing open on the guy anymore. So.
Did he already get in trouble?
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to rewind to the 90s.
Oh, you gave us the end of the story.
That's right. Well, not really.
Are you a director?
No.
Do you have a stalker?
No.
Do you need a stalker?
No, I'm good. So Madonna was living in Hollywood
Ray,
at the time.
Ray, I know you're listening.
That's right. Hey. So she was living in Hollywood in the 90s, and she had a security team.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, most Hollywood people did.
Right, yeah.
Anyway. And
got to be safe.
Yeah. So the guy's monitoring the cameras. He hears an alarm go off, so he's looking at everything, and he sees some guy jumping over a fence. So he's like, what the hell is this all about? So he goes out to confront the guy. The guy runs off. Okay. Didn't think anything of it. Just thought it was some weirdo.
Yeah. Yep.
Because nothing happened, you know, at the time. So he didn't tell Madonna or anything. 2 weeks later, the same guy shows up at the front gate. And he hands the security guy a note. And it basically goes into detail about what he's going to do to her and all this stuff. He says he's going to kill him. He says he's going to kill. He's going to slit her throat from ear to ear is what he's told the security guy.
Whoa.
Right. So he's like, look, man, you better get out of here, blah, 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 blah. He wouldn't leave at first. And then he called the cops. And that's when the guy started taking off.
Right.
Well, here's the weird part. on the second incident, where her house sat at the time, there was like a path that led to a park just like down the hill, and you could actually go around the park and it would lead up to her driveway.
Right.
So as he's leaving, Madonna and her personal trainer are coming up the path and they actually cross paths.
Oh shit.
And she didn't know who he was. And I guess he didn't recognize her because nothing happened.
Right.
And so as soon as the security guy saw her running up, he like hurried her in real quick and she's like freaking out. What the hell's going on? Oh, this guy threatened to
slit you from ear to ear.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he went into detail about it, but he's like, look, you got a stalker.
Yeah.
And he's nuts. So call the cops. And of course, you know, what the guy did was like felonies, you know, admitting he's going to come back and kill people and all this stuff. So she was on high alert and they were all on high alert. Problem was, he was a grifter, so there was no address to find him. I mean, he even gave his name out and everything, but they couldn't find him. There was no way for them to find him because he didn't have an address. He didn't have any place to live. They didn't know who he was, really. So a few weeks later, dude shows back up, decides he's going to take a little skinny dip in her pool. Now, every single one of these incidents that happened, she wasn't even home. She was never home.
Right.
So security guy's like, oh, damn it. So he goes back out there and, you know, he's armed. And it's like, look, man, you got to get out of here. And the Robert's like, listen, you're in my house. We're married. This is my property. You're trespassing. You get out of here. So they got into a bit of a scuffle. And Robert tried to go for the security guy's gun, and that's when the security guy pushed him off, pulled the gun, and shot him.
Oh, shit.
Shot him once in the stomach and once in the arm. So, now this is where for me, the story gets kind of weird. Because, okay, he's in the hospital, and of course he survives. Because, you know, like the one guy goes, he goes, because the bad guys always manage to survive things like this. So the prosecuting attorney calls up Madonna, because I guess there's some chick, I can't remember her name. Apparently, all she does is she takes care of, like, stalking cases.
Right.
So she calls Madonna and says, hey, if you're on board, I'll press charges, and we'll get this guy off the street. So she's like, yes, let's do it. So, of course, this attorney presses charges. And from the time she put the charges, she filed them, she had 60 days to get Madonna on board, to set everything up, to get everything going.
Right.
And she refused to help.
Why?
I don't know.
What?
Right. So 60 days goes by and the attorney refiles a case. There's some weird thing in California, some loophole where they can refile charges to keep somebody in jail.
Yeah.
Whatever. I couldn't understand the clauses and everything because they went to some lawyer speak.
Right.
But she refiled it and then she subpoenaed Madonna.
Now she's got to go.
Yeah. So Madonna dodged them for nearly another 60 days.
Okay. That's bizarre.
Yeah. And then
see, like, you got still Steven Spielberg here pushing, like, no, I want the maximum. And right. Madonna's like, ah, whatever.
So they finally subpoena her, and it was a nightmare getting that done. Well, here's the other thing too that I found weird. Apparently, this attorney put in some clause in the subpoena that if Madonna didn't show up on the court date, she'd have to pay $5 million.
Whoa.
What?
Yeah. So they just called it a body attachment to the subpoena. A $5 million body attachment, which basically guaranteed that if she didn't show up, she'd have to pay $5 million to...
Whoa.
Yeah.
So now they're like, don't show up, bitch.
Yeah, now they're like, you don't show up, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Because we're going to put this guy away. To me, whenever you like look into the Madonna case, the attorneys stalked her just as hard as the stalkers did.
Trying to get her to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was
she's bizarre. Probably more terrified of the attorneys than the stalker himself at this point.
Well, when they finally did get her into the courtroom, she basically was like, why didn't you want to do, why did you fight us on this? And she goes, we're giving him what he wants. He wants to sit here 10 feet away from me. You know, we're giving him what he wants. And it's like, well,
that's a good point. That's a really good point.
But here's the other thing. Nothing that this guy was charged with directly affected Madonna. She didn't have to be there.
Oh, okay.
Two threats, two terroristic threats against the bodyguard and her. And then he assaulted the guy.
Right.
They didn't really need to get him for the stalking. They could have gotten him for the attempted murder, the trespassing, the terroristic threats. They could have put him away for a long time for that.
Right.
But they instead chose this stalking route. So I don't really understand why they chose to do that when they had all these other charges against him.
That's a really, like, but once you said, like, why she was like, I this is why I didn't show up.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense, though, because you are giving in. You are letting that person win. Mm-hmm. It's not a victory, really, but to them, that means the world.
Right.
They got to be, like you said, what, 20, 30 feet less than that?
In the same room. I mean, how many people would kill for that?
Yeah.
And you're getting their attention the whole time because it's about you and her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you need a stalker, Chloe? Just so it can be you and him?
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Don't lie. You'd love it.
She's like, so?
So, and then... Years later, I guess they his storage unit.
Well, he got 10 years,
right?
And he served his time, and then he got 7 years in a mental facility because he had a plethora of things wrong with him mentally. Oh,
you don't say?
Yeah. No, like legitimate, like typical. Grew up in an abusive household.
Ah,
he was addicted to meth.
Okay,
And he was schizophrenic.
Perfect.
So he had a whole list of things going against him. Here's the other thing, too. At one point, they said he had been married and he had 5 kids.
Whoa.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what the
How do you find the time to...
I don't know.
Stalk Madonna and raise but kids.
Whenever I heard this little thing pop up, I'm like, ladies, this is what my thought was. I understand you like the Bad Boys, but come on.
Trust me. All women like the Bad Boys.
Like, this is a little crazy.
Yeah.
All right. But I mean, he was all kinds of messed up.
Wow.
And what started it was during the start of his delusions, he claimed that while in Denver, he had sex with Madonna, who had taken over the body of a guy.
Had sex with a guy.
But it was Madonna.
He had sex with a guy.
She had transcended humanity. She was essentially a god to him.
He had sex with a guy.
He was drunk and didn't want to be gay. That was the only excuse he came up
with. He was like, that was a mistake. No, that was Madonna.
No,
like,
Toby.
He convinced himself that that was Madonna.
It was Madonna.
Oh, man.
He was also convinced they were married, that they were in love. That it was the hit that, and every time he saw in the tabloids that she was dating someone, it was a front, and he would get angry because it was, you know, she was basically cheating on him at that point.
You know, here, this is going to sound completely insane of me. Yeah, laugh it up. But I almost wish I could live that delusional, because think of like how happy, like in his world, he's like, He's married to Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
In his delusional world, and like he's so happy. Now it's when he reads the tabloids and bullshit that drives him crazy.
But and he also heard voices that from God that told him they were going to be together.
See, I would love to hear from God. I would love for him to be like, Toby, it'll be okay.
Buddy, the way you're going.
Lady Gaga. Like, come on.
If God zapped
into your head right now and was like, Rudy, Lady Gaga loves you, you wouldn't be like, all right, thanks, God.
I would be like, all right, but I wouldn't go out and freaking try to kill her just because, you know.
that's
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's, but what I'm saying is living in that, being that delusional. Like, isn't that why everyone drinks or does drugs and stuff, to be a little bit delusional for a little while and not think about your problems? Like, this guy's like,
I just do drugs because I like it.
You don't do drugs. Shut up.
That's true.
Because
I'm delusional without them.
Well, that's what, but isn't that the same? Like, isn't that why people do these things, so they can, like, not think about what they have? This guy
Well, he's on drugs as well, so.
Oh, I guess he was on drugs at points, so maybe that's where his delusions came from. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it would be nice to just be happy because you think you have this awesome secret where you're married to Madonna.
Well, that's just the thing. He was never happy. He was always angry. There was no happiness in this guy's life at all.
Yeah. He had sex with a guy thinking it was Madonna.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So is he still alive?
Yeah. In fact, they don't know where he is right now. He's still a grifter.
That's scary.
But he's still around.
Oh, so he completely got out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
He even started, he was going to start a YouTube channel. Yeah, that's the other thing. He was going to start a website called the Convicted Madonna Stalker. But he can never get it off the ground.
Yeah, no.
I feel like that'd be a feat to get off the ground.
And he was gonna tell his side of the story.
Oh, you know what? I want to hear that side of the story.
Right.
Now
right.
that I know that this Madonna can like jump into other people's bodies,
but
I'm really curious.
At the height of his delusions, she was essentially a godlike figure to him.
So did he make off with the money?
What?
Did he make off with the money for her not showing up? Or
No,
she did show up.
She did show up. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, the court system would have gotten the money and he would have gone free.
Oh,
if she would have shown
gotcha.
Up that second time. Yeah.
I thought it went to him. I was like, that didn't make any sense at all.
No, the $5 million was a clause to get her to show up to court.
But to say, I got to get me a better lawyer if that was the case.
No, that's crazy. I would love to hear the rest of that guy's story just to see like how off the wall it is.
There's just, I mean, doing the research, there's some bizarre things that they do in the California legal system. It's just weird.
Someone needs to make a documentary with that guy and like let him tell his story.
Find him. Oh, if you can find him, good luck.
I want to hear that story so bad now. Anyways, I've only got one more case. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
So I went with a beetle.
Like a dung beetle or
like a George Harrison.
Oh.
Now we're not going to talk about
the Beatles.
We're not going to talk about the obvious case. We're not going to talk about John Lennon. We're going to talk about George Harrison because I think there's some good conspiracy theories. We might be able to get a full episode out of a John Lennon episode one day. So we're going to talk about the George Harrison case. So in Oxfordshire? Is that right?
Oxfordshire? Yeah.
Okay. On December 30th, 1999, a man named Michael Abram broke into George and his wife Olivia's house. Harrison had some security. He had walls with barbed wire, security lights, an intruder alarm, all the typical things that you would need. And this is also the property where I said he had like the big fence. And half a mile away was this house. And this house is huge. There was like a really ridiculous amount of rooms in this house. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the report said, but I know I'm going to not get it right and people will make fun of me because I'm not good at math and numbers. So we're not going to talk about how many rooms this damn house has.
You're not good with names either.
Not good with names. Especially I'm not good with reading. I'm not good with women.
Whoa. I was trying to stop you. I had my hands up, but you didn't.
I did.
That.
I went anyways. So anyways.
Toby, do you need a hug?
I might need two hugs.
Okay.
You only get one.
Yeah, don't push it. All
it
right.
It has
pal.
To be a side hug.
just a little friend like I don't want to touch you, kind of smell bad. Michael believed that George was possessing him. And that he was sent on a mission from God to kill George.
Seems to be a lot of that going around.
God does not like celebrities.
No. Well, with all the pedophiles running around, I don't blame him.
Right? Maybe this was God trying to intervene early on, because this is 99.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So,
God saw it coming.
He was trying, anyways. Michael was undergoing treatment for mental illness, and according to his own mother, had regular obsessions before George and the Beatles. It was the British pop band Oasis.
Don't remember Oasis.
Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high?
Nope.
Okay, Wonderwall.
Nope. That was before my time.
It's before my... You're older than me, fuckface.
I remember it.
Heard it. I think he's just messing with me at this point.
No, why would I do that, Toby?
So anyways, you know, he had other obsessions other than George. The couple were woken up when they heard a crash, and they went to investigate.
Santa Claus?
Ho, ho, ho.
Come the biggest stalker of all time. You know,
oh, oh, you're right. He's got a list, too, and he checks it twice.
Yep.
Holy and it's shit. Kids. That's creepy.
And he's, yeah, and he's got a little bunch of little elves that, yeah, he's got slaves.
Santa's a dark, dark mystery, man.
Poor Mrs. Claus. Anyways.
I wonder if he's a Grimtail originally.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, we did a Christmas episode a long time ago.
Dude, I've slept since then.
I've slept since like 4 years ago, at least twice. Anyways, the couple were asleep. They heard the crash. They woke up. Michael had actually smashed a window to get into the home. Once in, he ended up stabbing George in the chest with a kitchen knife. And I guess he cut his wife's head. I don't know where exactly, but they were both cut up pretty good.
Ooh.
From what I understand.
Wow.
She was able to... basically beat the shit out of him with a little fire poker and a lamp and
whatever it takes.
Yeah. So, and she was able to, call for the security, the backup to come up there. And, they found out that, George was stabbed and had his, lung punctured.
Damn.
And there was something I read that he said that he like heard it deflate. How crazy would that be to hear your fucking
hear your own lung deflate?
That's awful.
I was gonna ask
if it sounded like a balloon.
Yeah, you beat me to it though.
Yes, I feel so bad for that joke. I really do. I wish you would have said it.
I'm glad I didn't make you feel bad.
So yeah, the staff came and two police officers came to arrest Michael. And George and his wife were taken to the hospital, and they were treated for all their wounds. Apparently, George had been stabbed over 40 times.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I guess he had that lung removed because of that.
Wow.
And then of course, a year later, George passed away due to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Michael was acquitted on the ground of insanity and was admitted to a psychiatric institution for an unidentified period. So I didn't find anything else if he got released or not, but he did go.
Still in there.
He is hopefully getting the treatment that he needs.
Because
that's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
See, and I always remember hearing of a weird case of a burglar breaking into someone's house. And they fell onto a kitchen knife or something, and they sued the homeowners.
No, that was a liar, liar.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I thought that was a real story.
I'm pretty sure that was liar, liar.
And I always thought it was this story until I looked it up, and I was like, that's not exactly at all what happened. In fact, the robber, the stalker person came in and stabbed him. So, yeah, this is the case that I thought that was. But yeah, that's all the stalker cases I've got. I think this was fun. As fun as stalkers can be.
It was fun for me.
Yeah.
Learned some new and interesting things.
I took some notes.
I know just to blame God if I get caught stalking.
Yeah, if you get caught for anything, just say God told you to do it.
God told me that Madonna was a man and
we had sex, and we were married.
It's not gay, though. It's not.
But yeah, maybe one day we'll do a part two of this and do some more celebrities, because I saw there was so many.
Yeah.
And of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm borderline a stalker of, like, Kevin Smith, you know, just almost there.
Borderline.
Borderline.
He just needs like one thing to flip him over the edge. There he is.
That
he's
one thing.
Rick and Smith stalker.
He'll be in Dallas soon.
Oh, you already know that.
Jesus. He's touring the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
I feel kind of weird when he was in Denton.
I know.
And you were like second row.
And I was so hard the whole time. I mean, what? What?
I'm a little worried. Do I need to write Kevin Smith a letter?
Maybe.
I'll just tag him in this podcast.
Run.
Just say fast forward to this point, bro.
Stay away from Texas.
But maybe we'll do a part two if I'm not in jail by then.
Don't worry, I'm not on Twitter. I ain't gonna tag nobody in shit.
Or so you say, stalker boy.
Hey, gotta keep tabs on my Gaga.
I'm gonna tag Gaga in this and let her know at this point.
Wait a minute.
Tell her who you stalking lately.
Both of you guys. I mean,
well, I'm gonna tag you, Rudy. You tag me.
What?
Chloe, who you stalking these days?
Well, I keep good tabs on the Jonas Brothers.
So. Still? Are they still a thing?
They just got back together.
Oh shit!
Thought they were married.
What?
Does that disappoint you? Does that make you feel?
I thought you were saying like because you thought they got back together and meant like back together.
Oh no! Like legit.
No, they all three got married.
Yeah,
to each other.
No.
How does that work?
No.
Who sleeps in the middle?
She knows which one sleeps in the middle. She wants to say it. Who sleeps in the middle? Go ahead.
Good.
Who's the hottest one out of the three? Is there three?
Yes, there's three.
Which one would you most likely stalk?
Most likely stalk?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Trevor?
Who?
Is that one of the guys?
No.
I was about to say, holy shit.
Good guess, bro.
I was about to.
I'll say probably Nick if he wasn't married.
They're all three married.
Wait, so why would you not stalk him if he...
if he was married?
Yeah,
he didn't
matter?
Stop all these guys.
That's what scares me. Priyanka would whoop some ass.
What?
Priyanka. Her name is Priyanka.
Priyanka? I thought she said brown people.
No!
Jesus.
Like, whoa.
I was like, I can't keep that in the show.
Whoa.
I
mean,
there was that one racist stalker. I mean, there could be more.
But now that
it's her.
But
not
now,
me.
Now that Toby said it, though.
It makes it funny.
Makes him look bad.
Yeah.
That's what I thought she
Toby.
Said.
What's in your head?
Yeah, Toby.
I don't know. Do y'all have anything that y'all want to plug or anything?
You're closer to that guy than we thought. Oh, Bjork.
That's way too close to home.
Do y'all want to plug any social media or anything
Hell
so people
no.
can contact
social
you?
Social media is poison, bro. Don't go down social media. Get off.
Tyler, do you want to plug your Twitter or your Instagram or your phone number?
Are you trying to stalk me right now? We are on a podcast.
Well, if you want to stalk me, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Toby Von Doom. You can follow the show at Secret Trans Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Facebook page. So go like it. We have a Facebook group called Secret Transmission Secret Group. Go join that. I don't think. Is that everything?
Sure.
All right. Let's get the fuck off here and go stalk someone.
You know what I found kind of weird?
What?
While doing this research? They talked about how back in the day, they handed out maps to the stars.
Oh, yeah.
And I put in my little side notes, I was like, doxing of the 80s and 90s was maps to the stars.
Oh, shit. No joke.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
They used to actually hand out where they lived.
They used to sell them. They didn't hand them out. They mm-hmm. sold them. Mm-hmm. So you could go drive by.
You could take tours.
Hopefully you could see, you know.
Could you do that nowadays? Like, for real?
Take tours?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Would you really want people knowing where you live, though? Knowing how weird some of these guys are?
Yeah, but it's not illegal to drive on the road.
That's true.
So if you have, because they have like the buses and stuff, and they're like, there lives Steven Spielberg. He doesn't like bodybuilders.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
He used to go to the gym daily. Now he built his own.
So yeah, they still do that because it's not illegal to be in the street.
That's true. It's just find it kind of weird. I wouldn't want my address out there. I wouldn't want to live in Hollywood.
So,
anyway.
So Rudy's address is...
I will kill you.
All right.
You don't even know where I live.
I know where you live.
Oh, shit. You have been
out there. I have been
Damn it.
Yeah. Make me mad, Rudy.
A lot of open places, Toby. Just remember that. A lot of land.
There's a lot of land. We've talked about stuff. Don't worry about it. All right. Everyone say goodnight, goodbye, whatever.
You want to hide a body, just let me know.
Oh, all right.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody. You say bye, damn it.
Oh, bye. See you later. Sorry. I was just thinking.
Say goodbye, Roger.